It's time for the Taking Notes Podcast with Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elgort.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another Web 2.0 version of the Taking Notes Podcast for Tuesday, June 26th, 2007. I think you guys know it already, but my name is Bruce Elgort, and I am here with...
Julian Twitter Robichaud.
Hey, Julian Twitter Robichaud. And we're also joined today by Mr. Mac Wadera, who is a senior IT specialist with IBM. Mac, you've appeared on the podcast before doing some of your tips and tricks. Welcome to the podcast in the flesh.
Oh, yeah. It feels great being live action here. I'm super excited.
Well, we're super excited to have you here today to talk about none other than the soon-to-be-released Lotus Connection software. Julian, aren't we excited?
We are very excited. We've been waiting for Connection since Lotusphere.
That's right. Ready? Let's do what happened when Lotus Connections got announced by Mike Roeder on stage. Ready, guys? One, two, three. Okay, I'll GarageBand one of those sounds in. Max,
we need a better noise than that.
Mac,
it was that angelic, cloudy kind of voice.
Yeah, I'll get it. I'll find it. Mac, you didn't join in on the angelic noise there. You know.
Yeah, I thought pretty sure I'd be ruining that.
That's okay. So
he might be prohibited from making that noise.
Well, I know the IBM lawyers are tough and everything, but, you know, again, welcome to the podcast. It's been a week or so since we recorded episode 62 with Rob Novak talking about a somewhat related product, Qwiker, and that podcast turned out really great, and we thank Rob for appearing on it, and we wish everyone on the Qwiker team a successful release, and as well as the Lotus Connections gang this week as well. Right, Mac?
Yep, that's right. So we'll have Connections releasing out at the end of this month, and we're all internally very excited about it, as it sounds like you guys are.
Now, what's the elevator pitch for Connections? If you have, you know, kind of under a minute to explain what Connections is to someone before they run away from you to grab a Starbucks or something, what do you say? What do you tell them?
First of all, I would want to follow them to the Starbucks. There's never a time that I won't do that. So no worries there on the elevator pitch. We got a long Starbucks line, and then we can sit down and talk about it.
We didn't say hit on the people.
It's just my charm kicking in. I can't help it.
You have a lot of charm, you know. Just before we get into the elevator spiel, you know, Mac, Julian, and myself have known each other a long time, and, you know, Mac's just one of those people you can always rely on. He helped us. He helped OpenNTF at Lotusphere. He helped with anything we asked him to do. You know, whether it was, you know, Mac, can you carry these 2 tons of shirts, you know, from your house to Lotusphere? He did it. You know, Mac, can you go get us some Starbucks? He did it. So, elevator pitch. Sorry about that.
See, there's Starbucks again.
There it is.
This episode is sponsored by Starbucks.
Yeah, there goes your product placement.
Yeah, you know, we got accused of Collaboration University being, what they call it, advertising whores. So,
see, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. You know, we need to get our Starbucks. All right, elevator pitch. Let's get back on track. Mac, you walk onto the elevator, and the CEO looks at you and says, "Hey, Quadera, what's this Lotus Connection stuff you want me to buy?" And what are you going to say?
Well, after kindly asking for my Starbucks, the Mocha Grande Latte, I would tell him that Connections is basically social software for the business, allowing his resources, his workers, his knowledge managers, his people who want to do good online to come together and work and to get their jobs done in a very organized and efficient way with a Web 2.0 glean.
You know, Mac, I'm going to put on my CEO hat again. He's going to go, "My daughter's girlfriend. I mean, my daughter's boyfriend."
More than we want to know.
"My daughter's boyfriend put together a website for the church, and it's got chat, it's got blogs, it's got, you know, all this stuff. You know, why can't we just have this guy put it in?"
Yeah, well, I would recommend against that, Mr. CEO, with your wife's daughter's girlfriend's sister there, because What we're offering is all of this in a box and ready to go for you with full support and integration into some of the products that you're probably already using today, like Lotus Notes and the ability to tap into your other user directories through TDI, the Tivoli Directory Integrator, and to kind of scale and grow as your company does there. So, you know, you can talk to your daughter about this and how she's throwing it together, but at the same time, you know, you're probably going to be looking for something that's enterprise ready, and this is it.
Guadara, you're promoted. I like
well,
it.
Well, and of course, the other thing there is that then suddenly your company information is not on the internet somewhere either.
Right. Well, that's a very valid point because this is something that you are deploying for yourself. So just as you deployed same time out, just as you created email accounts and accessibility for all those people in your company, you're going to be deploying out connections. It's going to be something you're going to want to do internal. And again, to utilize kind of your back-end infrastructure that's in place already to work and to connect these people together.
So, all right. Go ahead, Julian.
No, I was going to say, okay, so we got connections. We've got this Web 2.0 stuff somehow. And now one of the big things, I guess we could start with some terminology too. One of the big things here is tags. And I know there's probably a lot of people that have no idea what a tag is, but I know that's kind of pervasive throughout all of the components in connection. So what's a tag if someone doesn't know what that is?
So at its very basic, a tag is really a simple keyword. But it's the power of bringing all those keywords together and applying them to either people in profiles or to links inside of Dogear or to messages within activities and putting some weight behind what they are. So you can search these tags, you can kind of cross-link them, and it allows users to define quickly the information that they're putting together in these resources.
Yeah. Now, interestingly enough, I think the first exposure that people are getting to tags now for in a large part is through Gmail, because you know Gmail from the very beginning has not had folders. They've had ways that you can tag your messages, so it's sort of like a folder, but things can be in as many folders as you want, right?
Right.
And of course, you know, with something like connections where you have all these different pieces and parts, you know, those tags can kind of overlap, right?
Well, certainly. And the cool thing about tags is that they're people defined. So as I'm working on something, let's say I'm doing a domino development project that's being kind of handled through activities, and I just want to tag something as a directory and a form, you know, maybe some element that I'm talking about or kind of sizing or scoping out in my pre-development practice. I can drop those tags in there, and before I even finish typing it, the UI for activities will show me the tags that already exist. It'll query the database and say, hey, we've already got these tags here, so maybe you want to use one of these. And so it'll give you a suggestion of a tag. And you can go ahead and pick one of those and drop it in. Or if it hasn't been used yet, you can type your own, and it'll get added to the database and marked on that record as a keyword for it. So you can then go in and search those tags and find, you know, a more exact kind of correlation, or not correlation, but a collection of data that will help you do your job in looking for or working with that information.
Okay. Now, you mentioned the user interface, too. Now, I know you're biased, but how good is the user interface here?
You know, I'm very impressed, actually, as I've been working with connections and seeing it go through a lot of different iterations since actually before Lotusphere. I've seen some good stuff happen to the UI. As a web developer myself, I was very interested to see how they were pulling that together. I would say that just about every one of the Ajax Web 2.0 spiffy JavaScript libraries that can be used in a web application is being used here. So you get a very slick interface. It's very clean. If you've seen some of the logos that have come out, maybe out on the connections page on lotus.com, you've seen that we have some very, very cool-looking icons, nothing too dry, nothing too heavily blue. I'm very impressed.
Right, and there's stuff that like slides around and pops up and refreshes in the background and stuff. So,
well, you know, it's the stuff you expect in a web application today. So you're not going to be round tripping back to the server when you click on something. It's going to smoothly just transition to the next bit, and really, that's what we're that's what we're all expecting to see in applications today. You brought up Gmail before, and that's what people are using, and that's where the bar's at. So
Mac, I'm going to use these two words in the same sentence. IBM did something cool.
Oh, you bet.
So I mean, this doesn't look like anything you've seen from IBM. I mean, their websites. Granted, it has some quicker-ish type UI. It's very similar to the UI in Quicker. But actually, this is even, not to disc the Quicker stuff, but this is, this is primo. And it doesn't, it's not your father's IBM software.
Well, this isn't your father's Lotus Connections, right?
All right, Julian, your turn.
Okay, well, we have these five tiers or these five pillars of connections, right? We got the profiles and communities and blogs, dog ear, and activities. Now profiles, I guess, start from the start. Profiles can't be that interesting, really. I guess we can go ahead and talk about them, but I mean, a profile is just pretty much what your person document, right?
That's right. And so, but it is interesting, Julian, and it, probably it's more interesting to hear how unvoyeuristic you are, right? Because, or maybe you just are a little too clammed up to talk about yourself, because within profiles, you have the ability.
Buttons.
What's up?
You're pushing buttons, man.
Good.
Buttons aren't toys. Go ahead.
So profiles, which is inspired by IBM's own Blue Pages, allows users to describe information about themselves. You can not only show the rest of the world on your internet where you sit and what your phone number is, but you can also write in a description of what you work on from a daily basis, or what your interests are, or things that might be relative to your work life. Also within there are kind of other tools that we have grown to love within IBM, and that is like looking at your hierarchy, and from there finding out who you work with, and the kind of the groups that you're in, and kind of getting a feel for somebody and where they're at in the big picture of the company. It's amazing, actually. I mean, before I even start talking to someone or chatting with them, I'll go and look at their Blue Pages record. I want to see, who they work with, how they describe themselves. Did they post up a picture is a very important thing, actually. It feels good to know what the person that you're, having this digital instant message communication with, or something like that, or even an email, to know that what they look like on the other end. There's that people connection there, and we even have the ability to put in your pronunciation. So if I want to pick up the phone and call you with confidence, I can say hello, Julian Robichaud, because you recorded that for me and dropped it into your profile.
Another thing that's really cool in profiles, and I've had the pleasure through the Lotus Business Partner program to play with it with the current beta, and that is, in profiles, if I do search for somebody, I can see, and I find them, I can take a look at their profile. I can see what communities they're currently members of. I can see whether they have a blog. I can look at their tags, their bookmark tags within the dog ear component that you'll talk about later. I can see what activities they're involved in, and I can also, if I need to find someone, say who has some type of expertise in a particular area, or mentions the word Lotus Notes, say, a lot as a tag, I can search for that in profiles and find people that way. Right?
Oh, now? You bet. Yeah, no, that's a great point. All of these things are five components within connections are interconnected. So even if you're out in an activity and you want to look back at a profile for somebody, say you're looking at an activity entry or a blog entry or something like that, and you're like, who is this guy writing these things? Actually, just by hovering over their name, you get an option to click and see their business card. And then from that business card, you can actually start to explore their other bits. So you can look and see what they're bookmarking or what communities they're in, or just go straight to their profile. Mm-hmm. And again, that nice little picture is there, so you can see what they look like.
Right, and that happens when you hover over. You know, you find their name in a list, or you search for something. You just hover over. You know, there's no bringing up a page, you know, for that specific person. It's just boom, you know, right there. So, and if you want to learn how to pronounce Robichaux, you know, you could do that too. So,
yeah, and maybe I could have like just really some sexy woman pronounce my name, just to make it that much nicer.
Yeah.
Okay, so communities. What is this community
all right,
thing all
yeah.
about? Yeah, but enough about me.
So,
Robichaux.
So in this release of Connections, communities is actually a very lightweight resource, but it allows the people using Connections to come together and share common interest, to kind of, you know, sign up for a group of interest, and from there kind of share links and discussions and stuff like that. So it's just a way to kind of organize and get together and kind of hang out.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how weak it would be, right? Because you can have public communities, right, which everyone can see and partake in, right? You can have private ones, you know, just for a bunch of people, say, working on, say, you know, a specific project or something. You have the ability, right, to look at all the communities, right, that are currently in your connection system. If do you mind if I go in a little deeper here, Mac?
You're dead on. I mean, also, one of the biggest things too is it allows you to set up tags for the communities and, you know, to write a full out description, which all are searchable. So, it's definitely a good way to track down people. And, you're dead on. It certainly is a great feature.
Right now, like old school Web 1.0. You think of community and you think of a forum, right? Does this have any relationship or resemblance to a forum whatsoever?
So, no, I wouldn't say that it does. It's not a forum or, let's even go further back, like a bulletin board system or something like that. It's really
BBS.
Just... Exactly. So, yes. And we'll later maybe hear what Julian's BBS sysop handle was or something. But no, it's really just a way to get together and share ideas and links. So it's not going to be like a full out forum. And when I said earlier that it's one of the least features, it's because actually there's a lot of plans for communities to come out. One of the first things that people ask me are, can I send a mass mail to these communities? Can I treat them like a group or anything like that? And it doesn't have that feature set built into it for this 1.0 release. But there's definitely a lot that can go into it, and I'm really looking forward to that being explored more as we kind of get this connections train rolling. Mm-hmm.
And you can see in the current beta that you can actually add, say, a tag, like a bookmark tag, say, from a web page into the community, and people can comment on it and stuff like that. So I assume that in the future, you know, things like... which one was it? Which component was it? Was it dog ear? No, it was in activities. How you can add different things, which we'll talk about. I assume that in communities someday you'll be able to just, you know, upload files and make it, you know, more interactive. But then again, maybe that's where activities comes in. So,
well, yeah, and I don't want to – I'd rather concentrate on what it is now, quite honestly, because, okay. If we go back to our Domino development example – let's say I need someone to do some, Java application development for me within my project or something, and so I could search out in this community, and maybe I know Julian's a great Java developer, but he's not available. Well, if I find him within this community, I can also find other people who have a similar interest and are available in this community, and it's a great link right there, and I didn't have to call or email 20 people to hunt down another Java developer.
And you also have tags, right? Again, tags as...
Exactly.
Right, so...
So it's you know, there's the stalking element to this.
Yeah, sure. Well,
let's
you know,
see, sexy voice, stalking. Julian, you're on to something, man.
Julian, I think of it more as kind of setting up for my fan club. When my fan club arrives, all my information is going to be in here, ready for them.
We're already here.
Well, now, and of course, another component for all this is blogs too, right? So you can blog, you can tell the world about yourself, and that's just one more way your fan club can interact with you.
Okay.
What's the blogging interface?
Well, the blogging interface is a web interface, Julian. But aside from that, it's a very quintessential blog application. It's actually based on the open source Roller application. And it's something that we've been using internally at IBM's Blog Central for quite some time now.
That's developed by Sun, wasn't it?
The Roller application?
Roller, wasn't it?
I believe it was originally a Sun application, then went open source. I'm not entirely sure of the background of it, but I do know that it's based on that great software. There's some good features in there, and I would say that we've exploited a lot of them.
And this will be your third blogging application, right? You have the Notes 702, Domino 702 blog template. You have the Quicker QBlog template. And now you have this Blogger component in Connections. So.
That's right. Yeah, so we have the Blogs component in Connections as well. So, and that might be confusing to some people. They say, hey, wait a minute, you have three different blogs here. Which one do I use? Well, it really goes back to, which environment are your people going to be working in and what's the easiest for you to maintain? If you're a small group and want to just set up a couple Domino databases as blogs or maybe even just a feed site, that might be more appropriate. If you're creating team spaces and you want that space of people or collection of people to have some blogs, that might be good for a Quicker. And if you're rolling out something and like we have it internally again in our Blog Central site that everyone can have access to, and it's kind of a no holds barred, go nuts kind of thing, then this might be it for you. Mm-hmm. So it's really taking a look at your application or kind of deployment needs and figuring out which one's going to be best. And maybe you'll just go nuts and have all three. I know the likes of you two, you could definitely keep three blogs busy.
Well, we could and we do actually. No. Again, we've covered profiles, we've covered communities, and we talked a little bit about blogs. Again, just everyone who's a member of the Lotus Connections community, right? At an enterprise, and remind me about enterprise later. I'd like to talk about how Connections fits in. You know, it's more of an enterprise application than an application, say, for a 50-person company, if that's okay, Mac. Again, online journals, blogs. You have RSS feeds, right, Mac?
Yep. So, of course, there's feeds in just about every one of our applications, or even in the buried within the different parts of the application. We've fully embraced the Atom protocol, and you can easily pull feeds out of just about everything within Lotus Connections. So, especially the blogs.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say from there also you can put in tags and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You can use that four-letter word again, tags. So
That's right.
You can tag your blog entry with particular keyword, and it'll get picked up not only by the search component for the overall Connections installation, but I think you can search all blogs for a particular tag or is it full text as well, Mac?
Yep. So you could search. You can search the tags in, just like you would expect. You can search, you query the title or the body of a blog.
Mm-hmm. All right. Again, so we covered those first three components. So I guess we're on to Dog Ear now. And Mac, can you tell us a little bit about Dog Ear and, some of its, maybe some people have used, bookmarking sites on the web today and, what it does and how it's different, say, than those sites on the web and, what it means to an enterprise?
Yeah, so a Dog Ear, which I'll start off, might be a little confusing to some of our non-United States of America English-speaking listeners out there, because in my travels and working with Connections, I found that Dog Ear is not a universal term. It goes back to turning the corner of a page or of some book or your favorite journal that you're reading and kind of marking it. So you're turning this corner and essentially dog-earing that page. So it goes back to that kind of idea. So what we've done in this dog ear application is allow you to share things that you've marked on the web, just like you can in Delicious and those kind of social bookmarking applications. You could do this for sites on your intranet and also out there on the public internet. So it allows people to register their sites and to share them, or actually even to not to share them. So one thing I have dog-eared is some HR administrative pages that I get to use frequently within IBM, and I don't want to have to search for them again, but at the same time, I don't want to share them out. So I have those set to private. It's a place for me and others to kind of enjoy the wealth of knowledge that I have found out there on the web.
Okay, so again, tags play an important part here, and maybe the first thing to do is talk about when you're in dog ear, there's a little link up on the right called tools, and I think actually all the components have a little tool section, and when you go to the tool section, there's a little like what I'll call a bookmarklet that you can add to your browser, Firefox or Internet Explorer, that allows you, say you're on a web page, say you're on the Taking Notes podcast, and you want to tell everyone about this episode, Mac, on the Lotus Connections team, you're going to go into your dog ear, you're going to mark it as public, and you're going to tag it as Lotus Connections, podcast, IBM, Lotus. No, only kidding. And you're going
Bruce, you're exactly right. You're dead on the money right there. That's exactly what I'm going to do as soon as you roll this out, is I'm going to go into my dog ear server, and I'm going to write that up and put in some nice comments for me, like Mac sounded much better than he did on his answering machine, and tag it up and hit save and share it out there. Mm-hmm. And actually, one of the other things that we have, and this is what I just love about the Connection Suite, is these kind of common sense things we have in our overall kind of web experience these days. There's a plugin for Firefox where you can search dog ear. So just as you see, searching Google within Firefox, that little bar next to your address bar, there's one for dog ear as well. And I actually turn to that first now and search, what other people have dog-eared and looking for information, as opposed to just going blindly out to Google. And I'm not gonna trash on Google, but I'll put knowledge workers in my field of expertise and company up against their algorithm any day. And you get some very exact hits when you do that.
I heard a challenge there, and you heard it first on the Taking Notes podcast. Yeah, that's a great point, Mac. You know, turning to trusted sources for linkage, for links to information that can help you make decisions and do the right thing for your customers. So,
yeah. Now, have we talked about subscriptions yet? I can't remember. You can subscribe to various things in here too, right?
Well, just so as I said before, dog ear is Atom enabled, and so from there I can grab a feed and subscribe to that via my favorite RSS reader or feed reader. And let's say I found this Bruce Elgort guy, and he's really tagged some good pages, and I really want to see what's coming up. I can go ahead and subscribe to his dog ear site or page. I can look at all, so I know everything that's coming in. I can view the most popular. There's a plethora of options in there. Mm-hmm. And all of it's exposed in this kind of open and Atom way.
Mm-hmm. And it also shows you the number of items that, say, Bruce has bookmarked for a particular tag too, right?
So we could see from the different tags, like how many people have tagged it, actually.
Ah, okay.
Which is really interesting. So if in all my searching I came across these tags, and 34 people went to lotus.com, and Bruce Elgort went to some other site.com, and he's the only person that tagged it, I might not decide to follow him there. Mm-hmm. I want to go where the masses were and get the quick and dirty information. Mm-hmm. Although, if I knew that that Bruce was on his game, then, you know, that might be inspiring enough, because I've already established a trust with Bruce and decided that, you know, I like this guy. I like what he's searching on and finding up here and sharing with everybody. So, you know, there's kind of humans making decisions for ourselves. There's a good number of ways to tackle this.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Mac, before we go on to what I think is probably the meatiest part of the Connections product, the you know, the activity section, I think it's a good time to hear from Chris Blatnick, who does the Interface Matters segment on the show. And Chris, in his last episode, talked about usability testing, and he's going to continue the discussion of usability testing, and he's going to talk about, in this segment, you know, defining who the participants are for usability testing, conducting the actual test, and analyzing the results. So let's hear it for Mr. Blatnick.
Hey everybody, this is Chris Blatnick from InterfaceManagers.com, and I'm here to talk once again about one of my favorite subjects, usability testing. In this case, we're going to talk a little bit about more of the techniques that you get into. Last time we talked about the basic ideas that define why you might perform a usability test, kind of discussed at a high level how you go about doing a test and what you do with the results. But this time, we'll actually explore some of the mechanics that you get into when you're doing a usability test. So first, I want to define the participants, the people that actually get involved in the usability test. Of course, you need some users, but there's some other participants that you need to make it as effective as you can. Of course, you have your users. And generally, the more users you can test, the better. But you're going to have to balance the number of users with all of the logistics of getting users in. And for most of us, we're internal within a company, so you can probably get users from your user community. You probably don't have to pay them, but you may have to negotiate time and things like that. So as many users as you can, keep it somewhat easy to manage for yourself, of course. The role that you'll probably play is that of the facilitator, and this is really one of the most important roles. This is the person that runs the show, that sets up the user's task, that explains the procedures that the user is going to be going through, and basically the person that's the ringmaster of this whole affair. If you're doing low-fidelity prototype testing, which we'll talk about in a little bit, when you're actually testing a low-fidelity prototype or a paper prototype, you need someone to play the role of the computer. And that's actually the person that controls the screens, quote-unquote, the screens that you show in relation to a user's inputs and actions and what they are doing in the program. So this is a person that typically will never talk, but will actually just provide feedback based on how the program is supposed to operate. So if a user clicks on something on the screen that's not actually a button or any kind of action, the person that's being the computer can't actually say, oh, you know, that'd be a good idea to throw a screen in here now. But you have to make sure you're very strict about keeping the interaction of the program as you designed it. Later on, you can say, hey, wait, a lot of people kept clicking on that thing. Maybe we should make it an action. But for now, just be aware that the computer's the role that actually displays what's happening and doesn't actually talk. Then you probably have some observers that will be involved in this process. What do you want to do with observers that may be project team members, maybe other developers, maybe administrators or business users? Whatever you do, try to keep them out of the way and unobtrusive. Even though we're not testing the user, they might feel uncomfortable with a whole bunch of people crowded around them watching what they're doing. So try to utilize other methods, maybe capture the screen in another room or use a video camera if you can to keep the observers out of the way. So what do we do when we're actually jumping into a test? And we've got all of these specific roles that we have going on. When the test begins, one of the most important things you want to do is make sure the user knows why they're there. Reiterate that you're not testing them or their skills as a user, but that you're actually testing the application. This is really important. You have to make them feel very at ease so they can act naturally, express themselves in a very open and honest manner to you. And really what you're looking for is brutal honesty, and you can actually ask them for that. You know, please be brutally honest with us. We're trying to improve the software. Don't sugarcoat your feelings. So at the beginning of the test, the facilitator sets up the task that's going to be completed. So maybe we're doing an HR system. Okay, John, today I'd like you to use the new HR system. We're going to be adding a new employee. So here's the pertinent information we received from the hiring manager. Go ahead and add this employee into the system. Now, if you're testing a low fidelity prototype, the person playing the role of the computer is the one that's actively engaged with the user, switching the screens when appropriate, i.e., you know, moving the paper around. The computer, again, can't talk, but can only interact with the user's actions as the context of the application allows. So that's important also. Don't make up functionality as you go. Generally, a user can use their finger or a pencil as a mouse, as a pointer device, and then data input, you usually use a pencil or something like that, so where they actually have to fill out information onto your paper prototype. Regardless of how you do it, whether it's low fidelity or the actual system, what's the most important goal here is getting lots and lots of notes. The main goal of the observers is to capture everything that's happening from a user standpoint. The notes from your usability test actually become your main data set for analysis. So you've got to get as much data as you possibly can. Concentrate on those areas that was particularly difficult for a user, where they seemed to be confused or had any particular difficulties. And then on top of the real obvious things, look for subtle things as well. User's trying to perform a certain task, but they kept hesitating, or he was furrowing his brow, something like that. It seemed confused. Capture those things as much as possible. It's okay for you as a facilitator to ask questions. Try not to interrupt the user when they're in the middle of the task, but when they've completed a step, go ahead and ask them open-ended questions. Why did you have a problem with that? Or how do you think we could improve this particular thing? And try not to answer questions for them, even if they ask questions of you, but actually answer their questions with other leading questions. Oh, well, what would you do in this case? You asked me how this is supposed to work. What would you do? How would you like to see this work? Those are great feedback points that we can take later to improve our design. And encourage the user to think out loud as they're working through a task. I think this is an important point in usability testing. Some users will be comfortable with this, some won't. But as they're thinking out loud, it's very interesting. You get into the mindset of how a typical user interacts with the application, and sometimes it's very surprising. At the end of your test, basically, the task is done. Ask the user for their overall impressions, what they liked about the system, what they didn't like, if they have any suggestions for improvement. And we're going to take all of those notes and everything after we've tested our several users, and we're going to go back and we're going to do some analysis. So after you've done your testing, we're going to summarize that collected data. We're going to look for trends, and that's the biggest point here. Focus on those glaring errors first, of course. If there's a particular piece of functionality which from your test just clearly is broken, you want to capture those, so all the low-hanging fruit, of course. Then, after you've managed to focus on all of the things that are quite obviously broken, then look at the areas where you can make improvements, either from user reflections or from your own observations. Every user kept getting tripped up at this one particular point. How can we simplify it and make it better? And you use all of this data to help basically fix your design. And it's not rocket science. It's very basic. When you find a problem, you go back, you re-architect it, and especially if you're doing a low-fidelity prototype, this is very easy. And then it's all about rinse and repeat. So you just do this process iteratively until you're happy with the final results. And generally, it'll only take a few times, maybe two or three, before you get down to the point where you can actually jump in and start coding. One of the important things about usability testing, of course, too, is not to wait till the very end to do this, because at the very end, you've already invested a lot of time and money in code. But do it as much up front as you can. I think you'll see some amazing benefits there. I have an article out on my blog about usability testing from a couple weeks back, and you can check that out. It goes into a little more detail. And as always, I'm very happy to answer any questions you might have. Get me at chris@interfacematters.com. Thanks, everybody. Take care.
Thanks, Chris, for that segment. It's always great as usual, and I always say that as usual. But let's continue back on with connections with Mr. Mac Wadera from IBM. Mac, is it anything else on dog ear that we need to highlight before we go on to activities?
No, I think we pretty much covered it there. Again, I I'll throw the gauntlet down to Google, and if they actually have a stronger robot, then I'll buy them a Starbucks. But again, we're running Dogear internally, and it is just a great resource.
All right, Activities. Activities is the big granddaddy application here, right? Isn't this the kind of the tie that binds?
So Activities, along with Profiles, is something that can be split out from Connections. So we've been talking about these five components, but by no means do you have to have all five components to have Connections. So that's to say that if you just want Activities or you just want Profiles, that's an option that's available to you. But Activities has a lot of meat in it. It's actually something that's been around for a while and has really had some good thought and kind of evolution put into it. So there is certainly a lot you could do with Activities.
All right. Now, how does Activities really kind of connect back and bring together all of the things we talked about before?
Well, the beauty of it, Julian, is that you can tag within Activities. So there's your loopback right there. It involves tagging. But on a more serious note, the people who are involved in Connections, people who are in communities that are publishing blogs, that are sharing their Dogear bookmarks, they're working in Activities, and Activities allows you to structure and organize your work. An activity is a place for people to come together to quickly accomplish a goal. It allows them to share resources and timeline and tasks, and if they want to, they can share that across the enterprise, or they can keep it to themselves. And you can even tie them together, meaning that you can kind of cross-link activities. And it really, really puts a lot of power in taking people who may otherwise be disjoined or have a different mode of working and putting them to task and watching them to go to work on an activity. The thing I'd point out about an activity, and this is really good to know when you get started, is that an activity is something that has a beginning and an end. So it's not a place for people to work, but more of a kind of a playground. So you don't live all day at the playground. You go there, you have your fun, and then at the end of the day, mom drags you out. You're all done. And I think that going into that, you kind of get the idea of, okay, well, we have to build this application. What are we going to put into it? Or, we're writing this article. How's it going to be structured? Who's responsible for what? Who's got what to-dos? What are the resources that are going to help us get this task done? And they're all in one central place. They're in your playground, and you're there to kind of work on it and get it done together.
All right. And plus, we can use things like notes, right?
Well, exactly. Activities, it comes with a lot of great integration right out of the box. And the strongest one is the Activities plugin for Notes 8 that will allow you to kind of surface the activity server through Notes. You'll be able to not only view but also edit or create activity items or drag emails straight into an activity. So if you have an entire thread that might be a good resource or kind of communicate to get out to the group, you can actually just drag and drop it straight into the Activities plugin, which then puts it out in the server there to share.
Okay, so let's start from scratch then. Let's say I'm in my Notes 8 client, and I've got, a project I'm working on through the end of the month. So I want to start an activity for it. What do I do?
Well, I would I would actually split it out into the individual projects. Right. So you have a project that you want to finish by the end of the month and start small like that. If they're all linked together, again, you can cross link these activities. But, just take small bites here and, figure out what needs to be done to accomplish that goal. And then so from there, create items that will help you do that. So if this is, let's say, getting in all your expenses, well, what do you have to do? You need to collect your receipts. You need to process those on some internal application for the bean counters. You need to get manager approval. These are the kind of things that, you know, kind of keeping you on task in getting this done. And you can check them off as you do. Maybe within that, if you know that there's a site that's going to help you get this done quickly or let you know what your meal allowance or travel expenses for a particular venue are, you can, you know, have a link in there as a resource or any kind of files that might help you. So maybe there's like a Word document that that you have to fill out every single time. If you want to keep that templated in there, you can do that. So once you have all those things done, then you're done with your expenses. You mark it as complete. Once you do, you have your activities dashboard that lists all these activities out for you kind of shows you what's on your plate. Once it's marked complete, it won't go away. It won't be deleted. It'll just be removed from your dashboard, and you can start working on the other activities to close out the month there.
Another way to think about it, guys, is, you know, taking it from a connection standpoint, is you start an activity, let's say creating episode 63 of the podcast, right? We create the activity. We state, you know, the activity name, what our goal is, you know, tags associated with it, when we want to have it due, right? Who's going to be what members of the Connections community are going to, you know, be a part of this? And I think you can do type ahead, where if I just type Julian, it'll start doing type down like Gmail and find Julian Robichaux, as well as, say, you know, Mac Wadera. Then I can add you guys into say this episode 63 podcast creation. Now, if there's some email threads going on between us, you know, via email, right, from the Notate client, right, I can, once I turn on the activities plugin and I configure it, then I can just take that email thread, like you said earlier, Mac, right, and drop it, you know, into this activity, and it will show up in the Lotus Connections area, as well as being viewable from within the plugin, right, the hierarchy, the tree, the activities tree.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The Notate plugin shows you exactly what's on the web server. And it just uses the API to make calls out to the server to get the data. I just want to say, creating a podcast is what is this, episode number 63? You're 63 and going on 200 here. You should definitely be setting up an activity to help you do this, because you can template these activities. So once you have the skeleton in place, you can go ahead and save that off as a template. And then call it up for the next one. So you can, you were talking about adding people. You can have those people stored as part of the template as, need to do certain tasks or whatever, or have access to it. It's tons of features in there for making people work smarter. Mm-hmm.
And getting back to where Julian was going with this is, I guess the question that we have is, can you create a brand new activity from the Notate client, or do you have to start it in Connections first?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can. What a great question! All right, you may have caught me on that one, but I'm going to say that you can start it inside of Lotus Notes 8.
Okay, just some other things, you know, with inside of activities here that I was playing around with, and if I sound overly prepared today, I am, because I really enjoyed, you know, experimenting with Connections today. My mind just started to wander when I said experimenting, so I apologize. you can actually add, messages, like Mac said. You can actually attach files. Like if you're in an activity and you're looking at the activity, I'm not going to say the tree, but the activity page, you can actually click on the add file button, and the little section on the screen appears where you can actually, you know, upload a file, tag it, you know, enter a title and all that other kind of good stuff. You can also assign to-dos, right, within the activity. You know, Julian, you write the show notes. Bruce, you do the publishing and GarageBand. Mac, you write an internal email to IBM people, you know, PR people, letting them know about the podcast, that type of thing. We could put the web links that we're going to put, you know, maybe during the show we had some web links that we want to link to. You know, we can create little web links like we did files inside the activity, and we can tie it, say, to another podcast that we did, you know, which is a related activity. So
You're exactly right. That is dead on in what it should be. So then you would finish the activity out. We've recorded. Your last task was to publish it onto the Ticking Notes website. So you did that, and you're done. So the activity is completed, and you move on.
Right. So if Julian and I work for IBM, this would be a good thing.
You should be. Yes, it would be a great thing if you both worked for IBM. Before you go too far, while you were talking, Bruce, I went and checked. There is a start a new activity within the plugin. Okay. So I'm dead on there.
I didn't want to have to edit it out, so because I don't want to have to add an activity for my activity here. So just one thing that I did notice when playing with it too is if Mac, say, did create something in the activity tree, and I wanted to say respond to it, say with something, right? I wanted to say, I know where that file is. I can actually right click on that node in the activity. I don't know what those are called. What's an activity? Something called within an activity. An activity?
A node?
Yeah. A node?
An activity.
Okay.
I've been calling them items within activities.
Okay.
I'm not sure if there's exact jargon right now to go along with it. I'm sure there is. But, hey, it's a social environment. We can create our own things. So whatever you're comfortable with.
So I right-click on it, and a little menu, a Web 2.0 style menu appears. And, I can post a message, a file, a to-do. And anything else. And something else I noticed too is if you created an item in an activity and I say respond to it, it actually copies the tags from the parent, the parent item, and puts them in the thing that I just created. So I don't have to re-tag it every time you enter something inside an item inside an activity. So
right. Yeah. It's a lot of these applications have smart little things like that. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about, adding in the people and stuff like that. It's kind of intuitive. You would expect it to do those type of things because who wants to continue to type and click and do all these, extra bits and pieces on the, slick web apps that really just take up too much of our time. So
I was just going to say, I did say earlier that, I used IBM and cool UI in the same sentence, so.
We'll see.
All right. So, Mac, who is this?
Julian the Skeptic. We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. It's almost live. It's so close to being ready.
As he strokes his Fu Manchu, I'm sure.
You have a Fu Manchu now, Julian?
No, I could. Give me a week.
All right. We'll post a picture on the podcast. So, Mac, Lotus Connection is going to be available real soon. Who's going to buy this thing? Who is this product made for? Maybe we should have covered that in the beginning of the show, but is this made for, Julian and Bruce Taking Notes Podcast Incorporated?
You know what? I think you proved out that it is. You may have answered your own question there. You guys can definitely incorporate and get your activity server up and running and start working smarter. So sure.
Okay. It's made for you.
You certainly do.
Can I write your profile, Julian?
Julian, I expect the Fu Manchu picture to go straight into the profile.
Now, Mac, right now there's the kind of connection site for partners, the invitation only thing that they've got set up for a lot of the IBM partners to play with and sort of see. Do you know if that's going to stick around?
Oh, I believe that it is, and it's good that you brought that up because not only do we have the site for the partners, but also announced at LotusSphere was the Lotus Greenhouse site, which allows IBM customers to come in and work with these technologies. So if you're a Greenhouse member and you could self-register through greenhouse.lotus.com, you can work with Connections, same time, 7-5, quicker, mini faces, and put the hands on these technologies and see what's coming out of Lotus right now. So it's good stuff, and I expect it to stay around.
Okay, and I'm just going to go ahead and put this out here. This is, by the time this podcast comes out, it'll be coming out right around the same time as this is happening, but I know they always repeat these. There's an IBM Lotus Collaboration Summit online. It's essentially a conference call that anyone can call into. It's an 800 number, and it's going to be Wednesday, which is tomorrow at 10 a.m., so like I said, we're going to miss this, I think. But there is a call that is kind of one of these media sorts of calls that's all about IBM Lotus Connections, and it's IBM Lotus Connections, social software for business, uncovers the collective experience of organizations. You know, this session will provide an introduction to this set of integrated services and how our early beta customers are using them today. Learn how you can discover and unleash the power of your business communities internally and externally. And so they have this e-meeting and they have got this teleconference details, but even though it's going on tomorrow, with all of their other panel sessions they've had replays. And so once that happens, I'm sure it'll be available as a replay, usually with a transcript and some little juicy bits here and there. So we'll put a link to that on the show notes as well. And that might be kind of a good, more executive overview of what's going on here with this stuff, too.
Are you saying our podcast wasn't an executive overview?
Well, sure it was. It was, but we're geeky. I mean, you know, we had the 1 minute elevator speech with the CEO. Then we went off and did our own thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Bruce, can you do the CEO voice again?
Well, Mr. Guadera, now that I give you a promotion and
now he's Mr. Guadera. I see.
That's right.
You know, it's crazy. You know, we got to loosen up on these podcasts, Julian. You know.
Yeah, I guess.
Julian, to follow on to that, there was also the Lotus executive panel that was just hosted by Mr. Ed Brill.
Ed Brill,
and that's available out there right now, and that contains some good info from our social networking vice president, Jeff Schick, on connections and kind of the directions of how everything's coming out socially from IBM Lotus. So I'd recommend everybody go and grab a listen to that, and hopefully you guys can link it up in your show notes as well.
We can. As a matter of fact, that is at exactly the same place as this connections panel is linked from. Mm-hmm. So you get one, you get them both.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that Chris Miller also recorded the bloggers Q&A, which talked a lot about connections as well, I think. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes for that show.
I was going to say, Chris Miller's been on top of all this stuff. He grabbed connections straight away. And I think he was like one of the first people inside of the business site. So kudos to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I challenge Google, I challenge everybody else to, you know, kind of meet Chris and beat him at this jumping on connections game here.
Mm-hmm. For those people who want to challenge Mac to anything, please drop us an email. We'll set up the challenge. And we'll set up.
It'll be an activity.
Exactly. All right. Well, we covered a lot, guys. I think looking at the timer here, it's probably over an hour. But then again, I have to do a lot of radio edits based upon.
Yeah. Who the heck knows?
Yeah. Anything else for Lotus Connections in episode 63, guys? We covered a lot.
Well, I hope in this over 2 hour long podcast that we've at least convinced Julian to, add a little bit more to his public persona, you know, feel free to explore other people's profiles and to share his knowledge through connections, with his friends and coworkers.
Yeah. See, that's
Bruce,
kind of
Bruce was bought in. Julian,
I don't know.
Yeah. it's 2007, man. It's 2.0. Get with it.
2.0. All right, looks like 63 is in the can. Mac, it's always a pleasure talking with you. Usually we see you. We usually don't talk to you, but we usually see you at Lotusphere and other events. Thank you for telling us all about Lotus Connections, giving us the, you know, not the uber geek details, but, you know, just the high-level stuff. And thank you for being my personal coach while I was going through the, you know, the Paxos .lotus.com site and being a beta tester myself as a business partner. And Julian,
yeah,
you any other questions for Mr. Mac?
I asked him everything I could think. That was all I had.
All right, Mac, any other questions for us before we let you go?
I have no other questions. You guys have once again done a very complete and thorough job. I'm continue to be impressed and I'm glad to participate and be part of this show here. So appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thanks for finally getting on the podcast here. So
yeah, welcome back.
Welcome back. All right, that's 63. Take care, guys. We'll talk to you all real soon. And thanks, Mr. Blatnick, for the Interface Matters segment. Ciao.